Well, it is very different being here, standing in my church, our church. And even though in my mind's eye and in my imagination, I can see my church family, I can see, because many of you sit in the same places, I can see you sitting there in my mind, in my imagination, I still feel that separation. I long to be with you as a choleric sanguine. Sanguine people know that we like to be around people. And so it's been very different for me, as I'm sure for all of you. And now that we've been practicing social distancing for about 3 weeks, although we have not been able to meet together, on the other hand, I'm glad that we didn't force the issue and do so. I think of a church family not too far from here in Skagit County, one hour north of Seattle, who, before we really knew what was taking place and the seriousness of this matter, practiced what was the cautions that were being issued at that time. A choir came together. A choir of 60 members came that evening. They practiced the social distancing. They had the hand wash. They did whatever they could to protect themselves from what they knew how to do. It was reported that it was just hours and days later in which many of the choir members began to have symptoms of the coronavirus. As reports were issued, it turns out that 3/4 of that group, 75%, ended up having come down with the virus. And a tragic report of 2 of them died. I'm sure there were lots, and still is, lots of sadness, sorrow with that group, but they were doing what they could. So we've taken it, and I know many have been disappointed with the fact that we have not come together in the past few weeks, but I think overall it was a good decision. I've seen firsthand the other side of the road. Many of you have experienced it. I've read it on Facebook. We go to our favorite store, Costco, expecting to get our supplies of toilet paper specifically, and finding none. Beans are gone, rice gone, canned goods disappearing. It's been crazy, the response, the reaction, the panic. There is a fear that's overcome planet Earth. And all these things are the result of sin. It's not God looking down from heaven, looking for an opportunity to bring punishment upon planet Earth. It's just the results of sin, the results of turning away from God's law, His natural laws, and sin is abounding. But thank God, His word says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. So as we continue today, even though our hearts are fearful, our message today is one of hope, one of no fear, as we take hold of his hand. Let's pray again. Oh, Father God, speak to us today. Speak to our anxious hearts. Speak to the hearts of those, Lord, who have lost loved ones. Speak to those, Lord, who are suffering, whether it be from the virus or illnesses or various kinds, or who are suffering financially, Lord, because of the social distancing. Speak to us, Lord. May we hear you today. May you bring us the comfort that we need, the hope that we can have in you. Send your Holy Spirit now to speak to us. Have your heavenly angels here and in our homes protecting us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a scripture verse in 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, that says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." We are children of God. And you know, like children do sometimes, we can find ourselves becoming very confident, very sure of ourselves, and we can find ourselves wandering at times. I appreciated Pastor Jonathan's children's story today. I have one like it that I want to share right now. It's about my children, and because my children aren't here, I can tell the story. It was when my boys, I have three children, my daughter was not born at this time. My boys were quite young, toddlers, and their mother and I and the family, we went shopping, and we were in a clothing part of this store. It was in a mall, and we were in this clothing section, and we, as much as we had taught our children to make sure that they stay within our sight, to stay by our side, they got themselves self-confident and involved in their play that before they knew it, they had wandered from our sight. They found themselves in the midst of these clothing racks, and they did not recognize where they were, and they did not hear, nor could they see their parents. Well, you can imagine, as any child would, feeling a sense of panic. They begin to wander through the clothing racks at which they had been darting in and out as they were playing hide and seek, and they began to look for their mother and I. And as they began to look and they weren't immediately successful, their voices began to proclaim their fear. And we heard the cries that came out, "Mommy, Daddy!" And of course, we heard their cries, we came to them, and we comforted them. You see, when they were by themselves, there was fear. When maybe even store clerks came up to help, they saw a stranger, a giant, a foe, maybe, in their mind. They were looking for their parent. But when they found us and they grasped hold of our legs or took hold of our hands, suddenly that fear disappeared. Their surroundings hadn't changed any. There were still strangers in the land, but there was a peace that overcame them because they were in the presence of their parent, of their mom and their dad, and they could stand against anything that was before them. This little story reminds me of how we as individuals, even in our time of fear, when we can find security in the presence of others. You see, because it doesn't stop there as a child. You know, when a child takes hold of her parent's hand, there's that confidence. But what happens when we get a little older? Maybe we're in that teenage year. Holding the hand of our parent isn't so cool, isn't thought of as being comforting at that moment. But then we meet that young lady, or for you young ladies, that gentleman who you seem to click with. There seems to be a connection before there's a physical connection. There seems to be something that draws you to them, and even though you're in a world that is filled with danger, sometimes when you meet that person and you take hold of their hand, there's acceptance, there's that feeling of acceptance, there's that feeling of confidence. Maybe that would be the person that you would spend the rest of your life with. Oftentimes that first one isn't. But then along the line, somewhere down the line, there is that time when you meet your soulmate, that person that, again, you feel that you can share all of your secrets with and you can trust them. I can remember as a young man, a newlywed, taking on the responsibility now of my own home, of my own family, and carrying that load. But there was something that when I was with my wife, when I took hold of her hand, there was a greater confidence. There was a greater security. There was a sense of belonging. Many of you who are married know what I'm talking about. And then time progresses. Some of you, unfortunately, lost that person. That person whose hand you used to hold for confidence, maybe now they're resting, waiting for Jesus' coming. Whose hand are you holding now? Who are you looking for in your strength, for your confidence? Well, there's a story in the Bible that is one of my favorites. It's found in Isaiah chapter 41. And in the book of Isaiah, when you look at the first 39 chapters, you see from the prophet messages of judgment that was coming upon God's people because of their rebellion, because of their continued turning away from him. And so you see a lot of that. But God's judgments, in a sense, are not to drive children away. It's to help us realize the issue we were in and that we might turn to him for help. And so we come now to the balancing of Isaiah into those chapters again, where God again gives us an affirmation of his feelings towards us. And we see here in Isaiah chapter 41, beginning with Isaiah 41, chapter 41, beginning with verse 9. Right in the midst of that verse, it reads, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you." God says, "I have chosen you." We all know what it's like when we're chosen. When I was a young boy, I can remember out there on the ball field as we were dividing up teams, no one wanted to be that last person to be picked. Because there was no choices yet to be made. It was just that you were the last one. And so you weren't really feeling chosen. You were kind of feeling like the odd person out. But to be chosen first, or to be chosen in the midst of a number of people, you felt confident. There was a feeling of goodness about being chosen. And so God says here, he says, "I have chosen you and I have not rejected you." Even though we may as children at times wander from God's side, become self-confident, we may stray from him. We may even have broken his laws. He says to us, just like he says here in Isaiah, I have chosen you. I have not rejected you. So he says in verse 10, he says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says that he doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He doesn't want us to feel that we're alone, that we're by ourselves. He says, I've chosen you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will take hold of your hand. And he chooses his righteous right hand, the hand of favor, to take hold of. He says, all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. And those who oppose you will be in nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Who is your enemy, friend, today? Fear is our enemy. Fear is an enemy. It speaks lies to us. We don't need to be afraid. We're not alone. God is with us. And if we allow him, he'll take hold of our hand. He will strengthen us by his presence. He will help us. The enemies who wage against us will surely be ashamed and disgraced. They will be as nothing and perish. I have in my mind's eye, again, another childhood story of when, there was a little bit of a battle between myself and a few boys, and I can remember them taking off after me, chasing me. And I took off dead heat towards my home, and I went running through the neighborhood. And soon as I got to my yard, and my dad was out there mowing the lawn, soon as I got to my yard and my dad was there, I turned around and my foes were gone. Because there I was home. My father, my protector, my provider was there. And this is what God, again, is using that human imagery for us and saying, I'm taking hold of your hands. Those who oppose you will be nothing as all. Though you search for your enemies, you won't find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. And he says, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Friends, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be cautious. That doesn't mean that we might not grow anxious in these troubled times. No one likes what's taking place at this point. But we are not alone. God has promised to be with us. And if we allow him, he will take hold of our hand. And he will walk with us. Skipping over another couple chapters in Isaiah chapter 43, God says there, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. We just sang that song. He knows my name. Oh, what confidence we can have. God knows us intimately. He knows our name. He says, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So friends, God has not turned a deaf ear to us. If we call upon him, He's there in a moment, in a flash. Jesus says, all who come to him, he will never turn them away. This is good news. So whatever we're going through, whatever you're facing now, maybe coronavirus isn't your greatest threat. No matter what you're going through, you have someone willing to take hold of your hand and to guide you through it. Sometimes we have to walk through the floodwaters. Sometimes we will walk through the fire, through the flames, but we don't walk alone. I'm reminded of the story in Daniel chapter 3. You take your Bibles and you turn to Daniel chapter 3. It's a familiar story. Even our children, many of our children know this story from a young age. Daniel chapter 3. And we find here the story. I'm going to go down to verse 16. But here, prior to that, we find a whole community of people being threatened with death unless they bow down and worship an image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. When the music would play, that was the signal that they were all to fall down and worship this image of King Nebuchadnezzar. And if they didn't, they were threatened with being thrown into the fiery furnace. Well, most of us know that story, that the three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we know them, many of us, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down and worship this image, and the king threatened them and said, if you don't, I'm going to give you another chance, but if you don't bow down and worship this image, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Now, just bow down and worship the image. Verse 16, their reply, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But notice what they say in verse 18. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Well, many of us know the end of that story, that they refused to bow down and worship the image, and they were gagged and bound, and they were thrown into that fiery furnace that Nebuchadnezzar had heated up 7 times hotter. I don't know how that would make things anything worse, but 7 times hotter, and had them threw in into this fire, and yet they didn't perish. Jesus was there in the midst of that fire with them. And even though their ropes were burned off, not a hair on their head was singed. Go and read the story if you'd like. My point of matter is this, is that they had a resolve that they trusted in their God, and they said, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, if for some reason he chooses not to, if we go into the flames and we perish, our hearts are still his. Our allegiance is with him. Friends, I would hope that Christians today would practice that same resolve. I would hope that you today would have that confidence as you take hold of God's hand, that you would remain faithful to him, that your neighbors, your family, those who you still encounter would recognize that you are aware of what's going on. you respect the coronavirus and you take the measures to protect yourself and your family. But you would also not be in a panic because you know who holds your hand. If you don't have that confidence, it's not too late. I invite you to take hold of God's hand. His hand is reaching down to you now. Take hold of it. Don't turn away. He will carry you through. I want to close with this last passage in Scripture. It's Psalm 91. I was talking to someone just today who said that he and his wife have been claiming this every day. His wife works in retail, and so this is considered an essential responsibility, and so she is in the public every day amidst this coronavirus, being exposed to whatever. And so they pray this prayer. They claim this promise in Psalm 91 each day. Let's read it together. Psalm 91, beginning with verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest. In other words, there will be a peace in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strikes in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will not tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, friend, today, we may be in a sea of trouble. We may find ourselves in the furnace of affliction. We may find ourselves threatened with pestilences. But our God has not abandoned us. He calls to us and says, take hold of my hand, for I am with you. Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, as we have come to this point in planet Earth's history, a planet in rebellion, planet that deserves to be abandoned, a planet that deserves to be destroyed, you have not forsaken us. you call out to us. You've come to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. You come to us now through your Holy Spirit. And you cry out to us and say, "Do not fear. Take hold of my hand, for I am with you." Oh God, if there ever was a time for us to answer your call and to take hold of your hand, it is now. Please, oh God, help those who haven't grasped your hand yet to let go of everything else and to take hold of it. Take hold of your hand. We look at what is taking place on planet Earth, and we recognize that our redemption is drawing nigh. We look heavenward from where our help will come from. And one day, we will see Jesus coming to take his children home. May we all go home together, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.